Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gigax, and I am at the convention in Boston for the NALC, and it's fantastic. I already saw Corey Walton down on the convention floor and said hello to him. And I have with me another special guest, which of course you see from the episode title. I am here with Marcy Miller. Say hello.
Hi everyone.
All right. So Marcy Miller, the reason I'm excited to talk to Marcy is she is a Carrier Academy instructor. I still think of myself as one, so I will say she's a fellow Carrier Academy instructor and a master facilitator in Denver, Colorado. So I guess the first thing, Marcy, is what is a master facilitator?
Well, we maintain the classroom. Okay. And then also, in addition to instructing, which I do every 4 days, we have a new class start. We are constantly training, but I also get to train the new instructors that come in.
Cool. So you're a teacher of teachers.
Teacher of teachers. I love
it. Nice. That's fantastic. Yeah. So we have some of those in Las Vegas as well, but they're separate from the academy. And so they teach, you know, they set up when we get our new on-the-job instructors, which you probably teach those as well.
I am not an FST trainer. Okay. So that is a little separate the Denver area.
Okay, gotcha. So how long have you been an instructor?
A few years.
Okay.
I kind of stumbled upon it. It's something I've been curious about for a really long time. I started out as an OJI in 2015 in Oklahoma, of all places. Okay. And I always thought learning what they know about before they come to me. Like, I really wanted to know what they were doing. So that sparked my interest.
What is wrong with these people? How come they don't know?
Well, I thought it was going to be, it helped me be a better OJI, which I always want to do. You know,
absolutely.
You're training the new people. You want to train them correctly. And so I kind of I came across a fella in my office who was an instructor, and he put me on to my wonderful management down there. And I was the squeaky wheel, like I say.
Yeah.
I kept asking, when do you have another FST training? When can I get in? Have you checked out my resume? Can I get an interview? And as soon as they gave me the go-ahead, I was like, oh no, what did I do? I'm such an introvert. I was super nervous about becoming an instructor, but I have to tell you, I love it. It's one of my favorite things that I do here.
Right. So you said something right in the beginning that you were looking at a way to be like a better on-the-job instructor.
Oh, yeah.
And that motivation of like always trying to improve your classroom is a huge part of what makes a successful instructor. And when we were talking earlier down on the convention floor, you talked about some of your own improvements that you've made to the academy. Tell me about some of those.
It's a group effort. Anytime someone has an idea, you know, we have the end of class evaluations. We take all of that information and we put it together. For instance, one of the people, when I very first started, it's like, hey, we want more group exercises. So I was like, all right, let's do it. So a couple of things we've implemented. We try to make it as realistic as possible. So when you walk in our classroom, it's kind of like you're on the workroom floor. You know, you have the carrier bar, you have the places for all your empty equipment and, you know, all of the other cool things. But we do, you know, our hot case. We just now got new barcodes, so they work again.
Oh, for the departure route, return to office.
Well, we've been doing that, but for some reason, our hot case barcode stopped working. And so we actually got with the zip code that we use, and they sent me over a picture, and I was able to get those set up again.
Right on.
But our scanners did an update some time ago, and a lot of our barcodes stopped working.
It is a continuing problem in the Carrier Academy.
Always, so just when you get it down.
Right. The program that they use in the Academy isn't inclusive of all the things we do out on the street.
Absolutely not.
Like, for example, the address search feature on your scanner, because we don't have access to AMS, it doesn't work in the classroom.
Or the load truck feature, which would be so beneficial.
Yes, absolutely.
If they would get a little, just a fake manifest, you know, to put in there, even just 10 packages, so they could load the vehicle and kind of get used to the six sections, I think that would be so beneficial.
Right, so they
here.
Can see how it works in practice. Yeah, that would be really nice.
The video only does so much.
That is exactly correct. So you mentioned that you have good management there, and that helps tremendously. How has the support level been? Like, if you need materials for the classroom or, you know, training aids, things like that, how has that been?
Anything I need, they're more than willing.
Oh, that is so nice.
I actually have made up some folders, and they were really helpful with getting me like the sleeves to go in. I have access to a lovely color printer. You know, we have the plotter that we can make ginormous posters for our classroom.
Wow.
And I'm all about visual aids.
Right.
So that's something I can't complain about at all. We have a great staff there, and I'm so lucky.
Yeah, that is really helpful. So they're supportive in terms of material support. What about time? Do they give you the time that you need to teach?
That is the one thing I wish we could improve upon.
Yeah.
I work 6 days a week teaching for the most part.
Wow.
And I, my office had once complained a little bit about my 0.10 clicks of penalty time during the week. And so, you know, we've just had to modify things around there, but just train some new instructors. They're awesome. And getting other things done, you know, while I can't.
Right.
So, yeah.
So that's good. They're helpful with materials, helpful with time, pretty cooperative on time. Yeah. But you mentioned when we were talking right before this that you don't get level two pay to be an instructor.
I don't.
Yeah. So in Las Vegas, we were always lucky with that. Whether it's a classroom instructor or an on-the-job instructor, we get level two pay. And it's not something that's in our local agreement. It's just something that for whatever reason, because it is a detail assignment, mm-hmm. and so they gave us level two pay for that. To me, that's something that would be worth putting in stone in the local agreement.
Agreed.
Yeah, so hopefully when the new contract comes out, and no news on that yet. We're still Sunday. This is the day before the convention starts.
So anxiously waiting.
I know, right? Aren't we all? And then we'll have that local implementation period where maybe that's something that can be rolled in there.
Definitely something I'll be inquiring about when I get back. But up until this past week, I was a T6.
So you were getting level two pay anyway.
This is something, they haven't considered yet.
Right. So what are some of the tips? I know we have instructors who listen to this because it's such an education-focused podcast.
Oh, I love
podcast.
It. Yeah, I recommend it to my
yay! That's fantastic. That and I've had people down on the convention floor actually come up to me and say, hello, your class is a male. I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. People, it's not just robots in Russia that are downloading the podcast. Yeah, that's so encouraging.
No, it's great.
So because I know we have instructors listening, what and you're an instructor of instructors, what are some like general tips you have to make someone an effective instructor?
Just really inundating yourself into the materials. I just trained two new instructors before coming here to take over my duties while I'm gone the next 2 weeks. So one of the things that I've kind of come across is, of course, everyone, the first time they teach a class, they kind of read straight from the books, but incorporate your personal, you know, stories in there.
Right.
Anything that you can do as you're going along that can be hands-on, that is super beneficial because as adults, that's how we learn. We don't 100%. Learn by sitting in a chair and just kind of staring at a PowerPoint all day. So we've implemented a lot of like hands-on stuff. Like our hot case, of course. We also have our
tell
throwback
about the,
case.
Tell about the in module 2. There is an exercise where you have like carrier endorsed mail that gets marked up.
It's
actually in module 5. Yeah. But what's your modification of that?
So, with the throwback case, when we talk about it, it's kind of confusing. You know, it's got these non-preferential, and everyone's like, "What is loop mail?" And it's kind of some older terminologies, you know, that we don't necessarily use anymore, or at least the newer carriers come in and don't really use it anymore. So we did a throwback case exercise where we kind of put down a scenario like, Melissa moved 3 months ago, and this is a periodical. What would you do with it? Like, how would you endorse it, and where would you put it in the throwback case or, you know, in the A-frame or whatever everyone uses because everyone's a little bit different.
Yep.
And I have a lot of dry erase markers in my classroom because I don't want to waste paper, you know. We do that enough. Mm-hmm. So I have folders, and the folders have everything in it that we scan. And then when we actually go through, we do the throwback case, and then we have them do a group exercise where they, when we talk about accountable items on day 2, module 4, they go through everything and they deliver it to each other. And if I feel struggling, I'm like, hey, guys, come on up here. How would you deliver it to me?
Right.
And I think that those group exercises are helping tremendously with their confidence, too.
Yeah, seeing it put into practice and actually being to handle the mail and see, like, this is what's going to happen when you go up to the door. I always tell other instructors, like, it's natural when you're new, and you mentioned this as well, to kind of just read the slides. But once you've internalized those slides, I try to use the slide as little as possible.
Oh, yes.
Because my take on it is they can all read. They can already read the slide.
Exactly.
They don't need me to read it to them. What they need is that extra, that bonus material to bring the material to life. If all it took to learn this job was to just read the slides, you wouldn't even need an instructor. They could just read the slides. Yep.
No, I don't like that. And, of course, bringing a little comedy into it, you know, making everybody get up and move around and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
I know outside, I don't know how your facility is, but we have a lot of outdoor stuff to do as well.
We do outdoor on the last day when they go out to actually practice delivering.
Nice.
Everything else is inside.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So do you have like an indoor course?
No. We only have an outdoor course. So the only practice delivery that we get in Las Vegas is just on that last day. We practice doing one parking loop and one driving section.
Okay.
And that's it. Yeah. So we don't have that day three mock-in delivery course.
So we have, ours is a little different. We have outdoor everything.
Right.
But day three, we do outside walking. We have really nice course. We have a blue box out there. We have a couple CBUs. They can get familiar with that.
Does your blue box or your CBUs have working locks?
Yes.
Oh, man, but that must be so nice.
We had a lovely master facilitator before my time named Rick Byrne, and he was able to kind of get like a fake key in there so they can, and it's on the gold chain. And
hey, look at that.
Before we head outside, we have them scan the hot case, pull down the route, sign up for their accountable items. We make them deliver like registered, leave notices for certifieds on the course, especially when it's really nice out.
Yeah.
And they have their fake little arrow key attached to them at all times because we really want them to get used to.
That's a really good idea.
It's I love it. I'm like, hey, guys, do you pat down before you leave?
Right. Because that's another thing new CCAs do all the time, or PTFs in your case,
always,
is they bring the keys home with them. Yeah. And if that's an arrow key, that's a problem. That is definitely a problem.
Have to take it back. Sorry.
All right. So one of the things that the students I had always struggled with was understanding periodicals, because there's no postage on the outside, and they don't really get that it's still preferential mail. So how do you get your students to understand periodicals?
Well, we have a lot of visual aids, and so we get, we get to go to the undelivered bulk business mail in the plant next door, which is so beneficial. We take everything out, but then I bring a lot of stuff from home, so we get a lot of periodicals as letter carriers, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I bring them in and have that physical so they can see it, and then of course that throwback case endorsement. We have several periodicals in there that they can get used to,
right?
Putting where they belong at the end of the day.
So what do you think could be done to improve if you had like a blank check, carte blanche, right? Hopefully we get a chance to talk to Chris Jackson
while we're here. That would be fantastic.
The director of City Delivery. And that's essentially where all this material comes from, you know, at its source. So if he gave you carte blanche, what improvements do you think you might make to the class? We've already talked about the scanner.
Yes.
Right, making the scanner fully functional within the classroom.
That is a big thing, because what bothers me, mean, I love the things that we've been able to implement, but it's like, hey, we do it like here, but when you get to the real world, you're going to do it a little different. And I don't like that. I want them to know how to do it correctly from the beginning.
Right.
But with our scanners being in training mode, like you said earlier, it's kind of hard to do. So if they could implement something where it was like a real one full day, like you go in, you case, you pull down, you deliver and come back and do all the things. And I mean, also our training material, honestly, hasn't been updated in 4 years.
Yeah.
We really, really need some.
And in the material, in the documents that founded the Carrier Academy, it says that they're supposed to be updated at least every year, if not more often, and that is absolutely not happening.
Not happening. I did see the book they handed out at convention.
Okay.
Chris Jackson had a really nice kind of article in there.
Okay.
And he had mentioned training material, so I'm hoping that's a sign of good things to come.
I am hoping that as well.
But honestly, I would be willing to volunteer my time to update all of the stuff for all of the academies. If they need someone to help in the real world, I would be.
I agree. Yeah, and you already have experience in Oklahoma.
You
know your way around Oklahoma. So you go down to the National Training Department or whatever it is down there.
Yeah, some great friends that work in Norman.
Oh, man. Yeah, that would be really cool. All right. So here at the convention, we're going to be doing a lot of learning. At least that's the idea. What classes here are you interested in?
Oh, my gosh. So Monday seems to be an extremely busy day for classes.
All right.
And so on that particular day, I don't know, I think I actually have a list, which is a ridiculous list of all the classes that I would like to go to.
All right.
I'm asking people to pick up materials for me since, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to go to all of them. I do wish some of them were a little... Oh, yeah, that would be perfect. Thank you.
You bet.
Let's see. So I think I'm going to do... I love to talk about EAP in class. I think that's a very beneficial thing that we have.
Let's let's interject here. Talk about EAP right now a little bit, because I think, so in the last teaching episode that I did, I read ELM 900, which goes over, the end of it talks about EAP. But talk a little bit about EAP here.
So I don't have that much familiarity, which is why I really want to go to it.
Oh, that makes sense. That's why you're taking the class.
The Employee Assistance Program, but the Emergency Response Team. Unfortunately, I think City Delivery is going to benefit me more with all of the duties that I do. I think that's going to be something that I want to make sure that I'm very versed in. Because, again, I want to be the best instructor I can be for everybody. I'm a trustee as well, so branch trustee training is something I always go to. So I figured, you know, maybe I can skip that one this time. I also am a union organizer, so I do the union presentations before class, and then I teach the class, and then sometimes I train the same people when I go back to my office for OJ. But Mutual Benefit Association is great. Finding your union voice should be very interesting. I really want to go to that, and I wish they had some more repeats.
Right. I feel like I've already found my union voice. This is my union voice. I get right up in there. Oh, yeah. Hear my union voice. So I don't necessarily need that class, but yeah, there's definitely some good stuff.
Let's see. Everyone is always curious about the NGDV, which I did post a video of earlier.
when the horn was honking?
When the horn was honking.
Oh, yeah. Here on the convention floor, if you don't see one of those videos, we're just standing there checking out the vehicle, and then somebody beeped the horn, and it wouldn't stop beeping.
It wouldn't stop.
And so, yeah, this is the quality that we can expect of the new vehicles, not unlike the old vehicles.
I know. It's
some things do not change.
A little nervous about that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just Monday, though. There's so many classes. Of course, Wednesday, I'm kind of unavailable for anything that's happening in the morning just because I'm doing a LICPIF.
Right.
NALC health benefit plan and postal service health benefits, since we're switching over, I always talk about the benefits and stuff during class, so I think that's going to be amazing.
Right.
I also really want to get involved in the new employee retention program and mentoring program.
So that's actually the last thing I want to talk about before we sign off.
I am curious.
Yeah, I'm signed up for that class, or I intend to go to that class,
yes,
I should say.
You'll have to let me know how it goes.
I have this soft spot in my heart for our new hires because they get the worst of everything.
They've got
the lowest pay. They have the worst working conditions. They don't know their rights. And I want to know from you, because you're involved in this process right from orientation all the way through on the job instruction. Yeah. What do you think needs to be done to improve, aside from pay, right? The pay is something that's being addressed in the contract, hypothetically, in theory. Aside from pay,
I have faith.
What do you think we can do to help improve new hire retention?
So I have to say, Denver does a fantastic job in the hiring process.
Okay.
The other cities in the area could definitely benefit from what they do. And essentially what they do is they give them a whole month's of schedule.
They know what days they're going to be off?
Their schedule for the first month. Now, of course, subject to change, you know, day to day. But that, for me, the communication, honestly. In my installation, I know one of the problems that we have with our new hires is they can't get a hold of someone to even find out when they're going to OJI.
Right.
And it just breaks my heart because I'm like, I know they need you here.
Right.
I don't know why they're not responding.
Yeah.
And so they'll say, I emailed or I text or I phone called like 5 days ago and still haven't had a response. So one of my duties is to go to the managers there and say, hey, could you guys reach out?
Right.
Because they don't know what they're doing, and they want to work.
Act like you want me here.
Yes,
yeah, exactly.
So at this point, I mean, we shouldn't have to tell them, just walk in an office.
Right. Is Denver one of the places that's doing the pilot program?
They kind of did an unofficial one before it started, but I really love that they do that. They also, we have a fantastic fellow down there named Faustin. He comes down there, and everyone in the Denver area, before they leave, they get their satchel, they get like a cooling cloth, they get a cooler, they get all kind of fantastic things before they leave.
Yeah, that's
really
helpful. And
I wish every place across the country did exactly the same thing.
Right.
So that's why I think that program is going to be great when it finally gets implemented nationwide.
To your point, the schedule alone, you know, just knowing that I'm going to have a Wednesday off so that I can go grocery shopping or see my kids or things like
that. Exactly. Make appointments.
Yeah. And the way I look at it, the post office has already gotten by without this person for, you know, forever.
Yeah.
And so you can go one day without having this person and actually give them a reliable day off.
Please.
It's not an impossible barrier.
They need that break. I mean, their poor little brains are overloaded with everything we just learned in Academy and OJI. And they need rest.
Yeah, no doubt. So what about last thing, like maybe on an emotional level or support for their new career, do you think that we might be able to do to improve the experience?
I am a fan of that mentor that they're talking about, having that right. one person that yep. might be your OJI, but it might just be like, you know, a buddy in your office that you can ask the questions to, and they don't make you feel bad. That's about asking it. Those questions.
Oh, it's such a problem. And you see it especially on like our Facebook groups. Somebody asks a question and then
everyone jumps.
Yeah, they just jump on them.
Like, we're new. We need to learn things. You know, that's I was exactly a new person right. once. You were a new yep. person once. And I'm so grateful I had such a great support system here, which is why I am where I am. Because especially my branch, just have to say my branch is fantastic. They are so supportive in everything that I am interested in doing. And they encourage me to do things that are far out of my comfort zone, such as being an instructor.
Yeah, and that's obviously worked out for you.
I love
and
it.
And the NALC is grateful to have people like you who are passionate about teaching, who are always looking for ways to improve. And thank you so much for taking the time to come on Classes of Mail.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
All right. Take care, everybody. We'll catch you next time.